The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia. This week, episode 126, we'll be talking to Sam Miller of Columbia International. That's www.columbiainternational.co. If you are interested in buying, renting, selling property here in Bogota, I can think of no better person to get in touch with. So, and property management, indeed, of course. That's Sam Miller here in Bogota. We'll be talking to him about the property. We'll be talking to him about his projects and Colombia in general, because he's a positive guy, and sometimes it's good to get these things into perspective. Talking about the news here in Colombia, well, I don't know if it's hitting so much the international news, but I have seen things on the BBC of late, all about the Zika virus here in Colombia. And I think we get more news about the Zika virus through the BBC than in the Colombian press about what's going on. Now, I do believe we're over 2,000 expecting mothers infected with the Zika virus. And that's 2,000 reported, that's 2,000 known as, and a possible 20,000 people in the country infected with Zika. So how do we know? What do we know is going on? Very tough. And then so sitting here in this studio in Bogota, 2,600 meters above sea level, you know, one thing you sort of think about it, perhaps we're safe up here and stuff. But if El Nino continues, is there not a possibility that, you know, Bogota will become at risk from this, from mosquitoes biting already infected, you know, carriers, and then going on to bite others? You know, who knows? But we don't get a lot of news about it here in Colombia. And so I would suggest that you check out the international pages. There was a very good piece on the NPR recently about the Zika virus. Read everything about Brazil, because that's, of course, you know, where it's really taking off. But in truth, you know, Colombia's not going to be far behind, especially with this hot weather and the puddles in the small town. So if you are, you know, aware of these things, you are in Colombia, please create sort of like a community group to sort of eradicate pools of stagnant water or anything of that nature that could be a breeding ground for the Aedes aegyptis, the mosquito that carries dengue, hemorrhagic dengue, chikungunya, and Zika. So yes, it's quite a nefarious mosquito out there. But they think more than 20,000 people infected. That's 20,000 people that we know of. It's going to be an explosion here in Colombia. And there's no, you know, there's no cure. There's nothing we can do about it at the moment, apart from being vigilant. So that's a pretty serious situation. You know, it's sad as well, because of course, what happens to the malformations of newborns, because I guess the skull doesn't form properly, and so they have abnormally small heads. And we've all seen the photos, I think. Aside from that, the peace process, the peace dialogues with the FARC keep rolling on. Yeah, keep rolling on positively. There's a report out today that 49% of Colombians surveyed. Now, I don't have the text to see how many that actually was. So if it was El Tiempo and Gallup, it could be 100 Colombians surveyed in total. So, but anyway, 49% believe that there will be a peace accord signed with the FARC. But most do not believe that that will happen on March 23rd. I myself, I'm also a bit skeptical that that happens on March 23rd itself. It's quite soon, you know, it's February now. It's under 2 months away to iron out the difficulties, but it's been going since, you know, November 2012. So that's not a long peace dialogue in the grand scheme of things for 50 plus years of conflict. Of course, it doesn't mean peace in Colombia. Please let me reiterate that the hard work comes after an accord is signed. And of course, we've also got the remnants of the EPL who are basically banditry in the Norte de Santander department. And of course, the ELN who still have to iron out some agreements before they get down to the negotiating table with the government of President Juan Manuel Santos. So, positive. You have to say positive. But while I'm on the subject of news and so on, I want to go back to Zika. If you know of anyone out there who is an expert in this sort of disease and outbreaks, or an epidemiologist in this field, I would love to have them on the show so we can have a talk about the realities of Zika or chikungunya here in Colombia, or, you know, and everywhere really, but so we can inform the people about what's going on. That's what I want. So, you know, get in touch with me. That's Richard McCall you can get in touch at Colombia Calling. You can get in touch at Facebook. We're at Colombia Calling, and of course, Colombia Calling @gmail.com is the email. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Sam Miller of Colombia International to talk about the positive news for Colombia in 2016. Thank you for listening, and continue to listen, please, because you will not be disappointed. We've got great interviewees lined up for the coming weeks and months. Thank you again. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, episode 126. That's right, 126 episodes coming to you live from Colombia. And this week we've got a special guest who has been on the show before. His name is Sam Miller. Some of you longtime listeners will remember him. He was talking about the sort of real estate prospects in Colombia, principally in Bogota. And he's the managing director of Colombia International. So it's a sort of real estate agency, manages businesses, manages buildings, sells buildings. It's kind of like the go-to guy for the property business here in Colombia for foreigners and Colombians as well. So listen, well, thank you for coming on the show again.
Thanks for having me. I think it's been a while since we caught up the first time. So, I think we've got a bit to catch up.
We've got definitely. I have to look back and through the records to see when it was that you were on. But I was still starting out, so it kind of been before 20 episodes. But anyway, it's pretty exciting. But things have been going really well for you. I mean, the last year, let's say 2015 has been a good year for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when we talked last time, we had the general idea of what we're doing. And I think since then, we've really narrowed down on where the opportunities are and the kind of products that we can kind of put together.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Very good. And in terms of the property market in 2015, how did you find that?
The property market in 2015, I think it was a year when the market took a step back and looked at what was happening, what was going on in the world. It's when the oil prices really started stepping in, the peso started devaluing. It was the first time in maybe 15 years where it wasn't business as normal. There was changes to the environment, and I think it in terms of new construction, we started seeing those prices slow down a little bit. I think everyone started to not to panic, but they took a step back and said, okay, what's happening? What's going on right now?
So you kind of like there was a market. The prices were high, but people, you know, worried about it. But things have changed now. The oil prices have plummeted to their lowest ever, pretty much, in history. And Colombia being an oil-based economy, or the income, it's really affected the property market.
Yeah, I mean, I think for 15 years you've had a market which has shown incredible appreciation consistently every year. And lately you've had such a concentration of developers and constructors focusing on strata 6. Mm-hmm. You've got 34% of the construction over the last 5 years going towards strata 6. And when you consider strata 6 is the top 4% of real estate in Bogota. That's a large amount of people focusing on one particular area of the market.
And of course, the market's not all, you know, luxury and top end. That's not the requirement for everyone.
No, I mean, you look at the population of Bogota. You've got 80% of people who are strata 1, 2, and 3. You know, so I think, you know, looking outside of that particular sphere is where you can find opportunities.
Now, it's interesting. For those of you listening outside of Colombia, of course, Colombians will know, and people who visited Colombia and spent any quality amount of time here will know that there's a stratification of barrios, of neighborhoods, or of buildings. And so 6 is the top, so you'll be paying the highest levies on gas bills, on your administration, you know, your building costs and so on. Electricity bills will be higher, and of course 1 is the least, right? And I know the Candelaria, most of it, the colonial downtown center, a lot of it is 1. So when I lived there for 4 years, right, when I was starting out here, my gas bills would come to 0. You know, because it was subsidized by people in strata 6. But there needs to be something done about this, right? I think because there's something, you know, it's becoming more and more difficult to justify, I think, stratification, because you can be in strata 6 in an amazing apartment, but across the road could be strata 1 in Vasion, no? So there's a curiosity to it. But that's the way it works here in Bogota, here in Colombia. I mean, my colonial house is, my colonial hotel in Monpos is strata 2, but my home is strata 4, you know, and there's about a sort of 6-block difference between them, and they're both colonial homes, yes, but they've been renovated, and so therefore they've sort of changed stratification. But it's something that's, it's an interesting concept here, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. I mean, I leave that to the experts. I don't know. But so you say there are more people now focusing on creating offers of buildings in strata 4, strata 3, maybe.
I think a lot of the people concentrate on strata 6 with the difficulties in the POT, which is the building regulations for the city. Once, you know, they saw that strata was getting tapped out, I think many of them have gone to the places outside of Bogota, La Calera, mm-hmm. Tunja, places like that, where the regulations are a bit more clear. Mm-hmm. Right now, the previous mayor, Petro, his building regulations are still in effect. It's still unsure how much longer they will be in effect. So it's put the industry in a little bit of limbo in terms of where they can really start developing.
Because the former mayor, Gustavo Petro, leaving office, incredibly unpopular, but he tied up these deals that would allow the construction of 7-story or very, very high story buildings in smaller areas, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, you have a lot of real estate below Calle 100 Street, mm-hmm. Calle 100, and also out west along the 26. Mm-hmm. So from the airport to Centro, and basically from Centro to 93, mm-hmm. It was allowing a lot higher construction, which, I mean, you know, some people will say it is, you know, for a city of 9 million people, then, you know, especially with limited public infrastructure, allow people to build more residences closer to where they work.
Yeah, which of course is that, you know, therein lies the problem that we're dealing with at the moment, and the current mayor Enrique Peñalosa has to deal with, is that, you know, that of transport. That's why people want to live near to their work, because it's mm-hmm. it's not that the distances are large here in Bogota, it just takes so long to get anywhere, yes. Between the traffic, we can talk about that for weeks.
Exactly. Tie it back into your other point, you know, you, because of that struggle to really make public transport comfortable, that's still very much in effect. People are willing to pay more to live in very prime zones, which is why you get, you know, in your strata 6 areas or your more popular areas, your zona G, your 93, your zona Rosa, Virrey, Chico, you know, you have elevated prices, which, you know, in new construction are hitting 12 million pesos a square meter. So that's around, you know, $3,500 right now.
Pretty top end stuff.
It is. You know, yeah.
How would that compare to another international city in terms of price? I don't know. I don't have the
Those are usually the stats that are picked out to compare to Miami and New York. That's what they'll say. Well, prices in Bogota are the same as Miami, the same as New York. So, okay. You know, so there are particular places and particular developments which are at that price level. For us, we're looking next to those areas. We're looking at the areas which are the natural evolution of progress and popularity. If someone wants to be close to these areas but doesn't want to pay $3,000 to $3,500 a square meter, then where are your options? And I think that's really helped us in tracking the appreciation over the last 15 years and seeing where this the flow of valuation hits the market. That's where we've really identified Chapinero Alto. Mm-hmm. And a step further, Chapinero Bajo is our extreme points of focus right now.
I think there's a lot of money to be made in Chapinero Bajo, so just below the Septima, let's say. Yes. That's where I live at the moment. And, you know, it's an old apartment, but it's big, the rent is less, and it's just as convenient living there and than on the other side of the Septima. There's the mountain side, but that would be ₱1,000,000 more for the size of the apartment that I'm living in. So I think there's a lot to be done there. You know, just if you could find some nice apartments to do a refurb job, I think you'd fill them very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you've got Chapinero Alto. It's more accepted. You've got a perception in Bogota of where you live is related to your status or your success.
Yes.
Chapinero Alto, it's just come into that. You know, you go back 5 years, if you live below Calle 72, then it was a rough area.
It was south
Bogota, basically.
Yeah.
So that's changed. The next step in that will be Chapinero Bajo. Chapinero Alto still has opportunity, although new developments are right now there's no land. So you've got to put together a number of houses with complicated family histories or ownership complications. So new development has definitely slowed down in the area. What it comes down to is finding either old apartments with room to add value to.
Mm-hmm.
And really focusing on that. So we've liked Chapinero Alto because it's close to Zona G.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of the indie coffee shops, you know, even Starbucks put in their one of their first two locations there. You've got your sushi bars, your wine and jazz bars. You've got an organic farmer's market. You've got a Brooklyn-style burger, pub, restaurant. You know, so you, some even like the boot camp CrossFit style places are coming in. So this is a big sign that outside the Zona G, just south of Zona G in Chapinero Alto is a hot spot right now.
Well, I mean, we're in your offices now, which are in Chapinero Alto. We're overlooking, you know, the west of the city. You've got a wonderful view. The afternoon light is pouring through the window here. Mm. But you know, I can already name, you know, over there you've got Mini Mal, which is really highly rated. Then there's that restaurant Hippie, and then there's the La Canasta for empanadas, and then there's another coffee place around there, and then there's some places opening up by a Frenchman, and then there's further down the hill you've got the brew pub, you know, the Statua Rota.
Yep.
I mean, it's the place to be, really. It's
absolutely
a fun place to be. I mean, it's not, you know, like we say for everything, it's not for everyone, but if you want to come to the city and you want to feel a vibrancy in a neighborhood, because that's the other thing, it feels like a neighborhood, you know. You can move up north into, you know, some very nice apartments, let's say up in Cedritos and stuff, but you feel like you're in a big ciudadela, you know, like a big area of high-rise apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, you know, you've still got your hodgepodge of old sort of almost Tudor-looking British homes, and then some Art Deco type stuff, and then some brutalistic 1970s stuff mixed in with modern things, and so you've got an interesting background to deal with here.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, if I could, I would be in here if I could find the right place. But that's where we come to you to find these places for us, you know, because you know, most of the practice in buying and selling houses here seems to be quite folkloric, I think, you know, just putting up a sign in your window and then kind of going with the person who you like best. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not. I know that there are a couple of websites that do sort of, you know, put up listings and stuff, but they're not the easiest to negotiate. They're not like sort of consumer friendly, is what I would say.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. But it's all going positively. It's all going incredibly well. And before we take a break, we've got a couple of minutes before we take a break, and we're going to go into the next section and talk about this newsletter you wrote to start us off in 2016. And that's a bit of a misnomer because we're already at the end of the month, but we're already into February, let's say. It's a really positive newsletter, which, you know, basically shows how positive you are for what's going on. It's not just Columbia. You can feel it. You know, in your very writing of that newsletter, you're saying, you know, we're going to go places, aren't we? The Columbia's going to go places. Sam Miller and Columbia International are going to go places, and so that's a good feeling because you're kind of spreading a goodwill there. And I wish you all the best with that. But if you were to say, you know, okay, someone's coming to Columbia, someone's coming to Bogota, you know, they want to buy to rent, is now the time to do so?
Now is a time to cater to a growing tourism market, which is not serviced by the traditional hotels that can make an accommodation or a place to stay for somebody that really accelerates their experience of Bogota to the next level, to make them feel more comfortable than they are at home.
So it's kind of saying I'm almost like an Airbnb type option, you're saying, you think, but something like that, but in a private sense.
You know, from an investor's perspective, to generate the highest returns, you know, looking at these trends, looking at what is happening with the market in Bogota, you know, whether you go for unfurnished rentals or development, or you go for renovations, you know, the combination of renovating and converting a property into a high quality service department, that's where we're seeing the highest amount of returns.
Excellent. Really interesting to hear that. That's a good moment to end this section on. To remind you, I'm talking to Sam Miller, the Managing Director of Columbia International. That website is columbiainternational.co. All right, so you can look up the listings and whatever they're offering on that page there. Please check it out because, you know, people doing good things. That's what we like here on Columbia Calling. Anyway, I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back to speak further about real estate here in Bogota and Columbia. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, episode 126. Here live from Bogota on a beautiful afternoon. But so we're talking to Sam Miller from the Managing Director of Columbia International. That's columbiainternational.co, so .co. And I want to talk about your newsletter. This newsletter that you sent out to all of the people subscribing. I'm one of the subscribers. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty awesome. I mean, indicated in the last section of the show, there's some pretty positive notes coming out on that one, let's go through it a little bit, because you called 2016 a breakout year for Columbia. In what sense?
Yeah,
what sense is?
Well, I mean, you know, looking back at, I mean, first of all, writing a newsletter, I don't have a specific schedule. It's really when I have something of interest or valuable to say. I think there's enough advertising sales pitches out there.
Yeah, even to bore your audience.
Exactly. So, and I think the perspective of really seeing Columbia 6 years ago when I first arrived on motorbike and traveled around the country, and then doing that, a similar loop, visiting a couple new spots, revisiting a couple old spots, and seeing the changes that have happened in that time really kind of blew my mind. And then looking at the data about what's actually happening behind it, I was like, okay, this needs to get out there. This needs to be known.
And when you talk about the changes, let's say, in 6 years, what changes are you talking about exactly?
Okay. You know, passing through each town and either, you know, staying in hotels or going to hostels and talking to travelers and hearing about their stories, and then, you know, seeing the amount of options available when you visit each of these towns. The loop 5 years ago was you go from Bogota, maybe Villa de Leyva, San Gil, Bucaramanga, then Santa Marta. You would go to Taganga. and then out to Tayrona National Park, and that's pretty much it. Then you're over to Cartagena, you'd stop in Medellin, and then you're off on your rest of your South American kind of journey. Those were the people who did come to Colombia. You know, there would be a lot of people who were skipping Colombia, and I met them in other countries. They would be like, "Yeah, no, I wanted to avoid Colombia." Here, you know, there's so many more you know, additional trips that are on the mainstream traveler itinerary when you're going around. So from, you know, going through to Santa Marta, it's not just to Ganga, it's to Minca, it's to Palomino.
Even Santa Marta, the historic center now because of the renovation.
Exactly, yeah. So each part of these, you know, each of the old favorite zones, there's even five or six more different places that are popping up to service those tourists that are showing up.
And it's important, you know, it's important that these destinations can absorb and interest and occupy these tourists as well. Not just like your beach holiday or your whatever, you know, you're up in, like you say, up into Minca where it's a bit cooler, you're in the jungle of the Sierra Nevada, the nice rivers, the bird watching, like you say, Palomino further along, just within the border of the Guajira, isn't it?
Yeah, beach town that's really just come into its own, a lot of new accommodation options, and then even going a step further, Riohacha. I really liked, you know, that's a quaint kind of smaller Santa Marta. I think the natural progression, it's kind of the capital of La Guajira, and then going out, you know, a few hours past that, you're at Cabo de la Vela,
and you were up there kite surfing.
I did, yes.
Tell us about the kite surfing, because I know we can't talk all property on this show, but there will be some kite surfers out there who will need to hear this news.
Sure, okay. So the original plan was to do Cabo de la Vela kite surfing and then Cartagena and then Cali.
Yeah.
I had so much fun in Cabo de la Vela that was my only kite surfing stop for this trip. In terms of learning, I'd done a few hours, like 6 years ago. So I was fairly beginner level, and the schools out there are they have great coaches. The bay is perfect for learning, very flat water. You know, you can be out there at sunset, and once you get going, kite surfing is one of the most incredible sports, especially when you're doing the turns and starting to fly around in the air a little bit. You know,
how much air do you get? You know, let's say as a beginner, how much air do you get?
As a beginner, it's an unpredictable amount of air that you can get. But watching the pros, you know, the guys who are doing it every day, they'll come in, skim the beach, the sandy beach, and pop it up, and they'll maybe go 10 meters in the air and maybe 50 meters out into the ocean.
It's
riding the wind.
I don't know. I think I'm on the other side of that now. I don't know if I have to do that. But for those who are interested, maybe that's, I think. But fantastic. But it's so good to know that these options are there. They exist, you know, because like you said, 6 years ago, that wouldn't be really unheard of. I mean, that's
absolutely
the thing.
Unheard
of up there to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's all part of this expansion along the coast, you know, to really take an advantage of it. And so you were out on the road for 2 weeks. Yeah. Of course, when we saw you in Mompostu, you came down, you came through and sweated a little bit in our hometown. It wasn't hot at all that time. It's still not hot, and we still haven't got water problems. But neither here nor there. But anyways, you did some good. But now you're back in Bogota, and it's business as usual, and you've hit the ground running here in 2016. Let's hear about your projects for this year.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I think even last time we spoke, you know, we were still identifying how can we add value to the process of someone who's coming in and buying a property in Bogota and maybe staying there for a couple of weeks each year or a month each year and renting it out the rest of the year. How can we provide value in that? I believe last time we spoke, the limit of our ability to do that was really identifying, listen, this property has got great potential for appreciation and also great rental potential. Here you go. Good luck. Just do some renovations, find a good property manager, you know, all the best. Okay. That was really where we were at. At the end of last year, we finalized a merger with First American Realty Medellin. There's Rich Holman and the guys out there do a great job really packaging together investment options and servicing the furnished rental market. So they had some pieces to the puzzle which we didn't have, we saw the opportunity to kind of bring those models in and mm-hmm. say, listen, okay, instead of just identifying the property, let's identify a property, let's put the team together to execute that renovation, and let's build the property management serviced department rental company, which is theapartmentbogota.com. Mm-hmm. And that is designed so we can package this investment option and really make the whole process a lot more passive mm-hmm. and a lot more trust from the clients, that they can know that each step of the process, they don't need to do the due diligence interviews, you know, checking in, making sure each step of the way is done. If we can identify from the right property from the beginning, we can take it right through the end to generate excellent occupancies and good customer service.
Well, that's it. And as part of what has been, let's say, missing is that kind of management skill, that sort of, I don't like saying it, but it's bringing in external knowledge about it, because previously in Colombia, it really just didn't exist. It was all kind of private, and again, like, I use the word folkloric. It was mm-hmm. sort of, you're here, this is your apartment, so be it, that's it, well done, like you say. But right. you need that level of service to be reassured, don't you? I mean, especially if you're doing a rental online, you want to know that the photos, the images are true to life, true to form. It's not just some render that's been put up there, and well, it will look like that one day, when your money's come in, then I'll renovate to make it look like that. You need something that they can rely on, and that's part of it. If you're coming in as a teacher or something, and you want that place straight away. So what are we looking at then? Because we're in the building now, we're in the project. Tell us about this project.
Sure, okay. So we're now in a building with three apartments, very large apartments built in the 60s. Not strong architecturally compared to the other buildings on the street. The idea is we do the renovation and turn it into 17 apartment suites, mm-hmm. which is servicing a market which is being severely overlooked right now in Bogota. There is a 27 a tax incentive for hotels to have a 30-year tax break in Colombia, mm-hmm. And that's been great to really boost the hotel construction over the last 12 years since 2003. It's been great for hotel rooms, but the market that has been overlooked is the tourist, the executive, the international traveler who wants to be in a place that is more comfortable than a hotel room. Uh-huh. It's severely underserved here, and the idea of creating the 17 apartment suites is to satisfy that market.
So out of three apartments, you're making 17. Well, three. Mm-hmm. How many floors does this building have?
This is four floors.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these are big apartments. So yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I've looked around a little bit, and the part suites will be your traditional, have a kitchenette sort of divided from the bedroom type thing, a little place to sit down, a little sitting room. So, perfectly, formed, comfortable places to stay. Another market, just down the hill from you here, you've got a Spanish language school. You want to tap into those the students coming over from Europe.
Exactly, yeah, the international student as well as teacher market. In Chapinero you have over 40 universities and institutions, most of the major universities as well. So yeah, that's definitely a big market.
It's a world of opportunity for that, mm-hmm. especially as the euro and the dollar, it's in your favor to come to Colombia at the moment. It's in your favor to come and spend time and spend your hard-earned money down here, because it's going to go so much further. I mean, this is really it's the time for the traveler to come to Colombia.
Yeah, I mean, the idea with choosing this building to make a project like this, as opposed to buying a couple two-story houses and building up and doing a new development. This was foundationally strong building,
mm-hmm.
which was
studied.
Under market value. Okay. So 2.4 million pesos a square meter for used construction, which in the market right now, your average is around 4.5 to 5 million for used construction.
Yeah.
So by buying the whole building, and it was three underutilized, undervalued apartments, And by using the common spaces as well more efficiently, we can really add value to the property and turn it into a cash flow business.
And the location, at the end of it, the location is really, it's unrivaled, really, isn't it? I mean, you can see a garden, you can have a roof terrace. Yeah, it needs some cosmetic work and stuff, but what property doesn't, you know, and what property doesn't? And that's what you're in the business for. So this is, you know, it's called theapartmentbogota.com.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's what people need to look up for that one.
That is the furnished property and property management service that we're launching.
Okay. Yes. So people and other people then who own properties in Bogota or who are perhaps leaving and want a property manager, they can come to you as well.
Absolutely, yes.
And you are managing properties at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Good portfolio then. Very good. Now, talking about these apartments, these apartment suites, what is the kind of price range that we're looking at? So you do weekly, monthly, or 6 monthly?
Yeah. So mostly short term, we will have monthly rates. When we are doing due diligence on a project like this, We use very conservative numbers in terms of occupancy rates and daily rates in terms of prices, because we want to surprise ourselves and we want to surprise the investors.
So,
and we're not going to do a project unless we see that conservatively they make sense. So looking at the nightly rates for these properties, we're in the range of 150,000 pesos a night to 180,000 pesos a night.
Okay. $50-$60 a night.
Yes. So, I mean, you compare it to, you go 7 blocks north and you've got the Four Seasons, the JW Marriott, and the Holiday Inn Express. You know, they're nice, but you're looking at nightly rates around 300,000 pesos and up. And I believe by having the kitchenettes, these incredible views, complementing it with the gardens, you know, having each apartment having something special to it.
Yeah,
I believe those are going to be very competitive rates.
I think so too. Yeah. I think again, it's such an easy place to access as well, and you're sort of in between everything. In between, you're in the middle of the, like we say, this very charming area of Bogota, Chapinero Alto. You've got the universities just to the south of here. It doesn't take 10 to 15 minutes maximum to get downtown to the museums. You're a 10-minute walk, 15-minute walk, let's say, to the financial center. I mean, so it makes sense. It ticks all of those boxes, you know, in terms of location and where you want to be and everything.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to experience Bogota and you have, you know, 2 weeks or a month to do it, where are you going to position yourself? Is it going to be downtown? You kind of stay in that bubble sometimes, you know. If you're in 93, it's nice. You've the park is being overtaken by the McDonald's and the Carl's Juniors, but it's nice. There's some nice restaurants there.
There's the Carl's Juniors.
As long as you're willing to pay for it, right? You're paying, you know, through the roof for that kind of location. When really, if you really want to get involved in it and you know, walk, which is, you know, one of the best things to do in Bogota, and have good access to Candelaria Centro, and you've got your Zona G, your best restaurants in Bogota right there, and then the 93 to the north, where better could you be positioned?
Yeah. You know? And to be in an area like this with everything around you, it's just... Bogota is undergoing a food revolution and a restaurant revolution at the moment, and it's all happening here because this is where people can open up the places without
they can experiment.
Yeah, without pretensions, you know, they can just say, "Listen, this is what we're going to do it here," and people are willing to try and give it a chance. So it's again very positive on this one. So I think I think you've got a very busy 12 months ahead, getting everything all ready, you know, in
time. Decade.
when will these apartments hope to be ready?
First quarter next year, we should.
Okay, so 2017, we'll be back here to see how they look, and at the same time, you're looking at other potential properties around the city.
Yeah, I mean that it's really the same model. We find undervalued, underutilized properties that we can add value to, whether it's through renovation, whether it's through better marketing, or changing from an unfurnished to a furnished rental, and providing the management service to make that happen. It's really the same model, and that's why we have part of our team that is dedicated to being on the ground. And as you know, if you want to find a deal in Bogota, you will most likely 99.9% of the time not find it online. It will be walking the streets, talking to porterías. It's writing down signs in the windows. So we have part of our team dedicated to that, to make sure that we have the best deals when it comes online.
Oh, it's, you know, that's that job. I don't envy that guy. Now, I've seen your office. You've got a few workers in here. Now, are these all college grads and experts in the, or are you training them up as well?
We're bringing in models which aren't in the industry here. So a lot of it's from our training. We're choosing highly motivated, high performing members that have experiences in real estate in Bogota, and we found that's the most effective profile we have.
Excellent. Yeah. And of course, I'm sure they work on commission too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So therefore, they're driven. You know, they're driven to get
motivation. This. Absolutely.
I think that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Now, so tell me about, you know, I looked at your website and I dip back and forth, you know, when I need to find things out about real estate. Mm-hmm. But tell us about the ins and outs of foreign ownership. You know, here in Colombia, is it as straightforward as it sounds?
You know, it's easier to step off the plane, get your tourist, your 90-day tourist stamp. As a foreigner, you can go and purchase an apartment and have it completely in your name to the same level of rights as a local Colombian.
So it is that easy.
It's easier than getting a visa, for mm-hmm. example. You know, you've got to meet a lot of requirements for that.
It's easier than getting a cell phone then.
Yes, and a bank account sometimes. A bank account here can still be difficult. We use brokerage accounts which allow foreigners to set up an account which is essentially the same as a regular checking account, and we use Alianza Valores mm-hmm. and Davivienda Corredores. Mm-hmm. And with just the passport, you can establish an account and be able to send money in and out of Colombia.
And there's a favorable rate on that. The banks don't take too much.
Yeah, no, it'll operate like a checking account.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Right? This is things I did not know. And then getting the deeds and the titles and everything straightforward.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you obviously you do want to do your due diligence. You do want somebody who knows what they're doing in the process. The title system does have its weaknesses. You need to know what those weaknesses are and navigate through them.
Well, when I was doing the deeds to the apartment that we've bought, the address was wrong. Mm-hmm. And then half of the text was wrong. And it just seemed like the girl had been texting, you know, playing with WhatsApp on her phone while she was being dictated. And
sure.
You know, therefore, honestly, there were just huge swathes of it we had to get rewritten. I mean, what were you doing? You know, is that better? But that's, you know, that was my experience. It's not the worst experience. The best thing about it is that we found these errors before, you know, it went to the notaria, you know, before it's too late, before it's there forever. You know, so, but I think it's excellent. So, you know, you've teamed up with First America's Realty. You've got this, the BogotaApartment.com. You're running, Columbia International, where there are listings for buildings on there. You've got a team who are motivated. I mean, it's, you know, the world is yours at the moment, it sounds like.
Well, you know, it's a complicated industry, and executing these kind of projects, it takes a team, and it takes a high-performing team, and I'm very lucky to have met and partnered with a lot of the people that I'm with to make this happen.
Well, I hope they're eavesdropping at this interview so that they can hear you talking well of them. But of course, you know, I don't think they need motivation. I think, you know, working.
Oh, they see the vision. Yeah.
in this environment is, you know, you want to work. You want to work in this environment because you know that the property's moving, and you know that the company's going in the right direction. That's the deal here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think we can slow down this interview now, because I think we've really covered everything, unless there's anything else you feel that you want to add.
I mean, we didn't get to cover the tourism explosion.
Well, tell me about the tourism explosion then.
This was the kind of core of what I wanted to express in that newsletter was. I think Colombia is about to come into it's burgeoning on this year incredibly. It's let me find the right words for it. I don't know. You've got a country that has been focused on tourism for a while, but now it's really going viral.
We're in the next generation as well. That's the thing, isn't it? It's going viral. It's
true. Yeah, I hate to put it like that, but. It's been the favorite country for so many travelers who have done the Southern American, Latin American journey. Mm-hmm. They've picked off Colombia as their favorite. And now they're going home and they're telling people, You know, you have 2,300,000 people who came as tourists mm-hmm. last year, and they're going out and posting on their Facebooks and their Instagrams. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you've got the peace process, mm-hmm. which is going to put Colombia at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. Yeah. You know, it's going to be in international headlines,
yeah.
and they're going to look, well, how much is it going to cost me to go to Colombia? Mm-hmm. And they're going to see what's happening with the peso right now. And I think those factors are major factors, which is going to push Colombia to a new level that hasn't been experienced before.
I think so too. I really do. And if this year's anything to go by, even just by seeing my little town, the explosion there. I mean, mm-hmm. It really is. And the very idea of the word peace in a headline and Colombia, you know, both mm-hmm. of them being there other than bomb or kidnapping or something, yeah. it's just so positive. It's, you know, it's the right way. There are all sorts of things that need to be ironed out in the accords and whatever, but we have to, as the Colombians say, we have to swallow these toads, you know, tragar los sapos. We have to, because we have to support the process. We have to be, and it is the right thing, you know. It is, you know, and in Colombia, I think the boom, and in Costa Rica, they're worried about peace in Colombia because they know that Colombia is a sleeping giant for ecotourism.
Absolutely.
You know, it will take a chunk of up to or possibly more, 30%, I think, of Colombia, mm-hmm. Costa Rican tourism.
Yeah.
You know, which is immense for such a small country, but mm-hmm. it's been very carefully managed and you know, press relations with Costa Rica, you know. But yeah. with Colombia coming onto the market,
yeah,
there's
ecotourism and other, you know, you've got your adventure tourism out in the Guajira with the cultural tourism. There's so much, the tourism market is so underappreciated right now. And, you know, traveling through Costa Rica and Panama, I saw the international attention that those countries got. But then I arrived to Colombia and it just didn't make sense why this wasn't even more of a level like that. You know, why had it been skipped? And it's a very old stigma. And,
yeah.
but I think by the number of people that have had incredible experiences in this country, it's unstoppable now. The word is out.
I think so. I think the train is, you know, it's on the train. It's left the station, personally. Yeah. So this is very positive news from Sam Miller and myself, for once, here in Colombia Calling. So let me take this moment to say thank you to Sam for agreeing to be on the show for the second time. He's the Managing Director of Colombia International. If you're interested, that's colombiainternational.co.co. And, of course, you want to check out the apartments that are being put together here. That is the apartment Bogota.com, and that's twinned with the apartment Medellin.com, right?
Yes, so
that's with First American Realty, I mm-hmm. believe. So there we go. Yeah. We've covered all the bases. We've made sure everyone's happy with that. But Sam, thank you very much, and thank you for being so positive.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. We love to hear from you out there. You can email in. That's ColombiaCalling@gmail.com, ColombiaCallingRadio.com, or on Twitter or on Facebook. I hope you've enjoyed this episode 126. I've got a very interesting interview lined up for 127, but I'll let you know further about that later on in the week. Thank you for listening. I've been Richard McCall. This has been Colombia Calling.